Okay, we're talking about Hilchos Brachos, specifically focusing on Hamotzi, Pasma B'Kislin, and Pas. So I want to talk about a related issue, not about the Brachos per se, but certain general issues in Brachos that relate to Pas. There's a halacha that Gemara in Pesachim mentions that's called Shinui Mokom. Let's say a person changes his location in the middle of a Suda after he made a bracha rishona. So what's the din? Gemara Pesachim Adaf Kufalef Amabei says that if someone's mishan is makom, he has to make another bracha rishona. That's the halacha in the Gemara Pesachim. Person makes a bracha rishona in his house and then he walks outside. Someone's outside, he walks outside to talk to him. There's a shini makom. The Gemara says that you have to make another bracha. Question is, what's the case? What did you eat? What kind of bracha rishona are we talking about? So the machlokas amarayim in the Gemara, machlokas rishonim ledina, had a paskin. Whether this applies to everything, any bracha rishona, any food item, or only something that doesn't require a bracha achrona b'mkomo, something like peris, right? Your fruits. Let's say you make a ha'etz on an apple, you take a bite out of the apple, then you walk outside, or you make a shahakol on your coffee, right? And you walk outside to talk to someone, then you come back and you want to continue with your coffee. Or you take your coffee somewhere. Right? Let's say you're drinking a coffee and you want to go to a shir. You don't want to be late to the shir. You take the coffee. You made a shahakal here. You take the coffee to the shir. And then you walk into the shir and someone says, well, did you make a bracha? And you say, well, I made a bracha at home. But that's a shini makom. Oh, that's the shayla over here. So some of the amarim want to say that something that doesn't require bracha achrona b'mkomo, meaning if you made a shahakal here, you can make a bar nefashos elsewhere. So for that type of item, there is a concept of a shini makom, that if you had a shini makom, then you have to make a new bracha rishona in the next place. That's one sheet. As opposed to pas, let's say, since bread, you're really supposed to make a bracha achrona b'mkomo, you're supposed to go back. Right? If you made a hamotzi here, and then you leave, you really should go back to recite brichas hamazon here. So this sheet holds that by pas, there is no din of shini makom. We're not going to force you to make another hamotzi in the second place. Because technically speaking, since you have to go back anyway, your kvius is not nisbata. Right? We're talking about a situation, let's say, that you're going to go back. Right? Let's say you just stepped outside. Stepped outside, you go to your friend's house, but you're going to come back. The question is, now that you come back, you have to make a new shakal. You have to make a new ha'eitz on the fruit that you started. You came back to the same place, so why should I have to make a new bracha? No, the answer is, there's a shini makom. Since you mashana makom, so something that's ton bracha achrona b'mkomo, your kvius was not nisbata. But maybe since on fruits and on drink, you can make a bracha achrona not b'mkomo, so maybe you should say that your kvius was nisbata. The kvius here was nisbata, so even if you come back to the same place, you should have to make another bracha rishona on that. So some shittas in the Gemara say that it's dafka for something that doesn't require a bracha achrona b'mkomo, and others say that no, it's said about everything, that if you have mishana makom, even for pas, made a hamotzi here, you walk outside, you have to make another hamotzi when you come back. There are paskins like that first shita. There are paskins, lakula, that there's no din of shinim makom by pas. There's only din of shinim makom for something that's not taught on a bracha achrona b'mkomo. So, of course, the $64,000 question then is, what is taught on a bracha achrona b'mkomo? We talked about peiros, we talked about pas, but there's a lot in the middle there. So it comes out that there are two halachas that really are dependent on each other. We have to figure out, what is ton of bracha achrona b'mkomo? And that's one issue. It's ton of bracha achrona b'mkomo. The second issue is, if someone is mishana is makom, he has to make another bracha rishon. These are two halachas, two different halachas. So what is ton of bracha achrona b'mkomo? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simei Kuf Ayin Ches Sif Hei and the Ramah there, they quote three shittas. There are some opinions that hold the dafka bread. Dafka pas is ton of bracha achrona b'mkomo. That you make a hamotzi in this house, in this building. So if you leave the building, right, you have to come back. You have to make a brichas hamotzi b'mkomo. That's the halacha of pas. That you started a seuda, you were koveh makom. The halacha is the brichas hamotzi has to be said b'mkomo. But every other thing, there's no din of that's tone bracha achrona b'mkomo. You can make the bracha achrona even in a different place. That's one shita. Then there's a shita that even chameshes min yadagon is the same halacha as pas. Then there's a third yeshomrim in the Ramah that even shivas aminim have the same halacha as pas. Right? Three shitas, either dafka pas or even shiva samin, or even kaleshes min yadagon, even mizonos, or even shiva samin. The peris and shahakol and mine shtia obviously are not torn abracha hanikomo. This is one halacha. And the corollary is, let's say a person is mishan is mokum, so then he has to make another bracha rishona that's only for something that's torn abracha achrona b'mkomo. So of course this halacha is going to be dependent on the different shitas. Right? So certainly if you make a shahakol, if you make a bracha on a cup of coffee or on an apple or something like that, and you walk outside, so definitely you're going to have to make another bracha rishon if you come back inside. Because it's not torn a bracha achrona b'mkomo. By pas, if you make a hamotzi on the bread and then you walk outside, you definitely don't have to make another bracha if you come back inside. And by mizonos, it's a shaila. Shaila poskim. And it's all a function of whether we look at it as though your kviyas was nisbatel by walking outside. Yes?
So, well, you said for pas that you always have to bench where you started because you establish kviyas wherever you made the bracha rishona.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have in mind that you're going to finish your
We're going to talk about that. That's very important. We're going to talk about that. That's a good point. Okay. Before we get there, what's a shini makam? Okay, we have the basic halacha of shini makam, so now we just have to understand what is a shini. I keep on talking about leaving the house, but sometimes you change location without leaving the house. So from one bias to the next is definitely called a shini makam. And even not going to a different bias, even just walking outside the bias, that's definitely a shini makam, because the bias is a makam kavua. You're going outside of that makam kavua. What's the din if a person walks mecheder lecheder? Besocha osa bias. You're under the same roof, but you're going from room to room. So it's really not so posh. The Mishnah Berurah in his Akdama to this whole discussion of Shini Makom, he quotes the Machlokes in the Poskim. There in Siman Kuf Ayiches, Machlokes in the Poskim, whether Mecheder Lecheder is called a Shini Makom. And he writes in the Bir Alocha, in Kuf Ayiches Sif Aleph, he writes that the question is whether Shini Makom and the din of Kiddush Makom Suda are comparable to each other or not. When it comes to Kiddush Makom Suda, Yomar Psachim says that even Mecheder Lecheder is a Shinui, and that's not called Kiddush Makom Suda. Let's say a person made Kiddush in one room. He didn't have in mind to go to a different room. He made Kiddush in one room, and he thought he was going to eat here, and then they decided they're going to eat in a different place. So that's a problem. That's not Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Right? The basic halach of Kiddush Makom Suda, we know that to be Otsi Kiddush on Shabbos properly, it has to be a Suda. You can't just make Kiddush, but you have to eat something. Shailas, what they have to eat, maybe even mizonos, or maybe dafka pas. It's a discussion for Hilchas Kiddush. But you have to have some kind of a suda. But the basic halacha of Kiddush Makom Suda is that it has to be b'makom. A suda has to be in that place. So let's say a person makes Kiddush, and he was thinking he was going to eat here, and then he sees, you know, his friend is going to the next Kiddush. You know, there are multiple Kiddushim in that community. You know, it could happen, right? There are a lot of Kiddushim there. So he heard Kiddush over here, but he wants to run to another Kiddush, and he didn't have a chance to grab a mezainis over here, because, you know, there's a big line. Everyone's in front of the table, and this one's grabbing cholent, and that one's grabbing herring, and this one's grabbing, right? So he figures, okay, I heard the Kiddush over here, but there's a Kiddush going on in the shul next door. I'll go and I'll eat there. So that you can't do. You can't be yotze Kiddush that way. You'd have to make a different Kiddush there, because it's not the makom suda. Not the makom suda, because it's a different bias. What happens if it's meched lecheder? There could be different simchas in the shul. Right? In this cheder, they're having one kiddush, and a different cheder having a different kiddush. So let's say you heard kiddush in one place. Can you eat the suda in a different place? But the Gemara Pesachim says no. Mecheder lecheder. If you didn't have in mind from the beginning that you're going to the different cheder in the same bias, then that's considered a shini makom for kiddush makom suda. If you had in mind, then that's okay, because it's under the same roof. If you had in mind, then that's okay, because it's under the same roof. But if you didn't have in mind metchila, that's a shini makom. So the question is regarding bracha rishona, whether you have to make another bracha rishona for shini makom. That's a shailin poskim, whether mecheder lecheder is considered a shini makom for bracha rishona. If you didn't have in mind metchila, this is all if you didn't have in mind metchila. If you had in mind metchila to go mecheder lecheder, so bein le'inyan kiddush makom suda, bein le'inyan bracha rishona, that's not called a shini makom. Because it's underneath the same gag, because it's underneath the same roof. But if you leave your home, if you leave the bias, even if you had in mind to leave, that is called a Shini Makom. For something that's subject to the rule of Shini Makom, even if you have Kavana Metchila, it's still going to be called a Shini Makom as long as you leave that bias. So let's say, going back to the case that we mentioned, this happens all the time. Person makes a shahakol on his coffee, and he's stepping out. So if you're stepping out, you'll have to make another bracha rishona outside of the home, because that's called a sheni makom, even if you planned on going to the car. So, you're not supposed to do that, right? To make a bracha sheni tzrich is not appropriate. So if you know that you're going to take your coffee to the car, what you really should do is you should wait to make the shahakol until you leave the house. Because then, even if you're outside, there's no makom, there's no kfiyas makom outside. So even if you make the shahakol outside of the car, you can take the coffee into the car. You don't have to make a shahakol in the car. Because you are not koveh makom anywhere, so therefore that's not viewed as a shini makom. It's important to keep in mind, people don't know this too much. Right? You think you make a shahakol outside, but I had in mind to leave. No, but it doesn't matter that you had in mind to leave. Since it's not under the same roof, that's going to be called a shini makom, and then you'd have to make another shahakol in the coffee. Yes?
In terms of room to room, who needs to have in mind that they're going to be leaving? Is the person making Kiddush need to have it in mind additionally?
Or no, the person who's being Yotze the Kiddush. I mean, every person is being Yotze. Right? So the individual who is eating his Suda elsewhere can't be Yotze with the Kiddush of the Mekadesh unless he keeps it in mind. Right? If he keeps in mind that he's going to be eating Mechel, if the Mekadesh plans on eating in a different place, but I was planning on eating in this room, so then if I move somewhere else, then I can't be Yotze Kiddush from Makom Suda. Because I didn't have kavana. It's all a function of each individual. Yes?
What if you leave, your coffee stays, and then you come back for the coffee?
Coffee? You're saying my coffee keeps my kfiyas makom?
I'm saying...
There's a different way to keep a kfiyas makom. The Gemara says that if you leave chaverim in that place, you leave someone back there, so then that can preserve your kfiyas makom there. Then if you come back, you wouldn't have to make another brach v'shama. But if you don't want to come back, you want to go to the shiur.
Saying I want to come back though. That during morning savior.
Yeah.
I got a coffee, and then I'm gonna go to the bathroom, and then when I come back.
Yeah, but that's under the same roof. Oh. So if that's under the same roof, in your stomach you had kavana, then in the middle of savior you might go to the bathroom. So that's not a shinui makom. What happens if you make a bracha on the coffee and then you want to go across the street to go buy something? So that's a problem. Right? So according to this, you'd have to make another shahaka when you get back. Yeah.
Chavrusa could be.
If your chavrusa is there, right, Tak? So if you leave the chavrusa there so he can maintain that kfiyas, then you wouldn't have to make a shahakol. Excellent point. Right. Very good. Okay, what happens if a person is eating bread, let's say, right? So if he's eating bread, he made a hamotzi here, he leaves the home. So then he doesn't have to make another hamotzi when he comes back. Let's say he wants to finish the su'udah elsewhere. Right? It is true that pas requires a brach achrona b'mkomo, but does that mean if he had kavana mitchila that he wants to finish the su'udah elsewhere, so it's tohen a brach achrona b'mkomo? That's, I think, Jacob would mention that. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, Siv Dalid, writes that if someone finishes the Suda in a different place, that means it's not that he ate here, then he left, forgot to bench, right? Or maybe b'mezid he left. And so then the halach is he has to come back to bench b'mkamo. In this case, he ate in both places. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if he ate in both places, then he can bench elsewhere. Okay, it's a little bit complicated because the Shulchan Aruch himself holds l'chatchila, you're really not supposed to move in the middle of a Suda. Even if you had in mind mitchila to go to a different place. The Shulchan Aruch is very machmir in this halacha. The Ramah, though, holds l'chatchila, if you have kavana to go elsewhere to finish the seuda, then that's not called a shini makom, that's fine. Regarding pas. The discussion we had before about shini makom, leaving the building is always called a shini makom. That's for something that's subject to the din of shini makom. The rule of shini makom really doesn't apply to bread. But the question is, l'chatchila, are you allowed to be mishanah makom because we're afraid that you might not come back to bench? So comes the Ramah and says, but if you had in mind mitchila that you were going to eat a little bit here and then you're going to finish the meal there, finish the meal in a different place, that's not a problem. L'chatchila, you were planning on doing that. So it's not a concern that you're not going to come back to bench. You never were planning on benching here to begin with. So after Ramah, in such a case, l'chatchila, you'd be able to go to the other place. This is very common. Let's say a person starts his suda. Sukkah, right? He starts in his sukkah, but he wants to finish the meal in a different sukkah. Well, they say, the poskim say that it's very common, chassidim, they'll start their Suda Shabbos by themselves, and then they go to the Rebbe. The Seder night, I think the Seder night works like this. They have a little bit of a Seder at home with the family, and then they go to the Rebbe to finish the Seder. How can they do that? Is it Shtach HaShini Mokom? The answer is, it's not a Shini Mokom, because Mitchila, they were planning on going to the Rebbe. I guess they have a motzi at home, right? They have a motzi at home, but they have in mind to bench at the Rebbe. Go to the Rebbe, they get shirayim from the Rebbe. Right? So they're going to eat more matzah there. So as long as Mitchila, they had in mind to go elsewhere, then even Lechatchila, they can go to their mock. Okay. What's the din? Let's say, I'm sorry, question? Yeah, Zach.
I don't, how come, like, for Shemakam, where you seem to be more like Mafmir on, like, the lesser food than, like, Hamotzi?
Because it's all about the Kvius. Since the lesser food doesn't require a Bracha Kvanavim Komo, so there is no Kvius established here. So there's no Kvius established here, and you left, then when you come back, it's like a new place. But if you establish a kvius, either because of the nature of the food or because you left someone there, so that kvius is not misbatel. So the bracha rishona is not misbatel either. So you don't have to make another bracha. Jacob.
Is there any problem, like if you go to the restaurants and you wash it and they have those bread things there, like sometimes next to the sink they'll have little pieces of bread. So you can make a bracha there. So you don't have any issues walking back. So the Rama would say that's fine because lechatchila it's not a problem, even if in one room and you go to a different room, but maybe Shofanach would say that's not ideal.
Right. So you're saying it's mecheder lecheder. You're gonna have a little hamotzi there next to the washing station. Right. That's the inside outside. And it's mecheder lecheder. Right. So according to the Ramah, technically, you should be able to make a hamotzi over there. Right. I mean, there is a shita saying if you have in mind, of course you have in mind to eat the meal inside. So, according to how we're developing the shita of the Ramah, it should work. It should work. Unless you want to be machmer for the mechaber. You're making a hamotzi here, but you're not eating a kazayis. Are you? Yeah.
Going back to the shahakol, is it the same thing from going outside to inside?
If you're outside, you're not kovei amokom. Then you'd be able. Then your bracha. Yeah, if I make a shahakol outside and I walk inside, I don't have to make another bracha. It's only if I make a bracha inside, because that's a mokum, then I have to make another bracha when I get outside. What's the din? Let's say a person. Yes.
Is there a shir that a person needs to eat in the new mokum to be kovei again to bench there? Meaning, like, let's say like
you have to eat enough that you're chayav to bench. So that means at least a kazayis. What's it then? Let's say a person ate bread, left his place, and now it's a tircha to go back to bench. The halacha is that passes tona bracha achrona ben kama. You're really supposed to go back to say the hazamaza. But let's say it's a big tircha. This actually can happen. Someone once asked me a shayla. He came to shiur, and he forgot to bench in his apartment, and he wants to know what should he do. So technically, the halacha is that passes tona bracha achrona ben kama. He should really have to go back to the apartment and make a and say Birchas HaMazon there. Is there any kind of leniency? Maybe he could bench here. He's not eating anything here. Is there any leniency to bench here? That's actually a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Pei Dalet Sif Aleph says that if he left his apartment b'mezid, meaning he realized he didn't bench, but he left the apartment. He was going to go back. He realized he didn't bench. And then somehow he found himself in a different place. So if it were b'mezid, if he left b'mezid, so then he really does have to go back to bench there. But if he left only b'shogeg, let's say he was shochach, he forgot. And a person ate, then he gets involved in other things. He's still home, he's still in the mokum, right? He didn't do a shini mokum yet. But he gets involved in other things, and then he forgot that he didn't bench, and he leaves the mokum b'shitchem. So that's actually machlokes b'shamay b'silah. Chlokas Beisham Beisil in the Mishnah at the end of Brochus, what's the din of Shochach? And a Machlokas, the Rosh and the Rambam, Machlokas Rishonim had a Paskin. Do you have to go back, if Shochach, you have to go back to bench from Kamo? Or by Shochach, we say, it's okay, you can bench, you can say Birchas HaMazon where you find yourself. So how do we Paskin? So Dr. Mishnah Bura, there in Kuf Pei Dalek, the Kotten Zayin, Mishnah Bura says it's appropriate to be Noheg like the Rosh, to go back. Even by Shachach, it's appropriate really to be noted like the Rosh. b'shas adchak. But if it's an extenuating circumstance, then you can be mekel to the Rambam, but you can be mevarchem koma. So I think in a situation like this, a person, if he goes back to his apartment, he's gonna miss 10 minutes of shir, because between the walk back and forth, you know, if it really, you know, if there's gonna be a hefsid, if it's difficult for him to go back, so then yeah, but he can be mekel as long as shochach, as long as he left b'shikcha, he can be mekel and make a and say birchas hamazon here. Okay, but if he leaves b'mezid, if leaving the makom was b'mezid, not b'mezid that he doesn't want to bench. It means that he realized that he didn't bench, but he's walking out because he wants to take care of something and he's going to come right back. So the Emes says he shouldn't have done that to begin with. So if he does that and then he finds himself elsewhere and it's too much of a tircha to go back, then he really does have to go back. He has to put in the tircha and go back. But here we're talking about shachat, that he just forgot that he didn't bench. So then if it's really a big tircha to go back, then you can bench from kama. Yes.
Just clarifying, Debbie doesn't think that it's only the shasat chak. Like even
what does the shasat chak mean? It means an extenuating circumstance. So what kind of extenuating circumstance is it? If you're going to incur a hefsid, if it's a big tircha, I mean, what's a big tircha? If it's just a 5-minute walk, that's not such a big tircha. But if you're going to lose out in the shir, lose out something, if you're going to miss your bus into the city,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's a hefsid. So I mean, but makom hefsid, perhaps there's room to be made. Yes.
Say you remember like 2 minutes before shir, you can bench at the moment, like within 10 minutes of finishing your meal, or wait till after shir, an hour and a half, and then go back to your apartment.
No. Wait an hour and a half. Oh, that really leads to the next topic, right? To wait an hour and a half, are you allowed to wait an hour and a half? When's the last time that you can say a bracha chayla, that you can bench? So the Mishnah in Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph and Beis says, "Ad sheis akel hamozon b'meyav," that you can only say a bracha achrona, not just benching, any bracha achrona, only a sheer equal, right? Until the food is digested in your stomach. What does that mean? It's machlokas hamoraim in the Gemara there on Daf Nun Gimel. What this "Ad sheis akel hamozon b'meyav" means? That either it means as long as the person isn't hungry. That means that he didn't digest the food completely. Or it means adalid milim, till 4 mil. Now, we're all familiar with this shear of 4 mil, right? 72 minutes. That's the shayla in the Gemara. What is achiyas akel hamazon b'meyav mean? Does it mean as long as he's still not hungry? So that means that he didn't digest the food, so therefore he doesn't have to make another, he can still make a bracha chana. Well, no, you can make a bracha achrona until dalei minim. Now, what does that mean? So there are two different days. So isn't there a steer between the two? So the Gemara says, no. Kan ba'achila mu'etes, kan ba'achila meruba. That one is talking about if you eat a lot, and the other is talking about if you eat a little. So which one is which? Machlokas Rishonim had to learn. It makes it complicated. Rashi learns that dalei minim is the largest shear. No one's going to say that the shear equal is more than dalei minim. So on an achila meruba, if you eat a lot, then you have until 72 minutes. After 72 minutes, there's no question, says Rashi. You can't bench. You can't say a bracha achrona. But up the Gemara, for an achila mu'etes, for a small type of achila, then the shear is even less than dalei minim. Then you're not going to be able to make a bracha achrona, even less than dalei minim, if you're hungry again. If you're hungry again, then you can't be mevarach, even if it's less than dalei minim. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosus learns punk vaker. Tosus says dalad milin is the minimum shear. Fachila mu'etes, the shear is dalad milin. That you can still make a bracha achrona until dalad milin. For an achila meruba, then the shear is even longer. If you're not hungry, even if it's after dalad milin, you can still make a bracha achrona. Okay, this is the back and forth between Rashi and Tosus. So how do we paskin? It's a whole back and forth in the Torah and the Beis Yosef. We'll just cut to the chase. The Dake Moshe seems to pass in like Tosfos, right? That the minimum shear is dalad milim. But if you eat a big meal, then even after dalad milim, you can still bench. People don't know this. They think, oh, after 72 minutes, forget about it. That's not true according to the Ramah. The Dake Moshe pass in like the Bali Tosfos. The Taka, if you eat a big meal, if you're not hungry, then you can still bench. The shear of dalad milim, the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it, the shear of dalad milim is only if you don't know whether you're hungry or not. You ate something, and now it's 72 minutes, and you're not sure, am I hungry? Am I not hungry? So then once there's dalad milim, if it's a small amount, then you can't make a bracha achrona anymore. If you know for sure, if you had a small meal, and you know for sure that you're still hungry, excuse me, if you know for sure that you're not hungry after 72 minutes, then according to the way the Ramah Paskins like the Bali Tosus, then you can still bench. Someone asked me once, a Shaila, that he had breakfast. What's a typical breakfast? He had a bagel and eggs, right? And a bagel and omelet. It's a pretty small meal. It's not such a big meal. And he said it was after, he was sitting in Seder. He was learning hard, but he forgot the bench, and then he realized, more than 72 minutes later, he realized that he hadn't benched. But he said, "I'm not hungry. I know I'm not hungry." I said, "If you know you're not hungry, then I think you can bench. If you were misupuk whether he's hungry or not, so that's not a big eating. So if that's a small meal and he's misupuk whether he's hungry or not, so then I would say after 72 minutes he can't bench. But if he knows for sure that he's not hungry, so then I think according to the way the Ramah paskins, that dalet milim is the minimum shiv. But if you know that you're not hungry, so then you can still bench. I think in such a case, Itaka would be able to bench." Poskim point out that there's a very big difference in shir equal between bread and other food items. Right? If you're talking about bread or something that's dark or lahasbiya, something that normally satisfies people, a significant basar, tavshil al chameshes min adagan, something significant. So then the shir equal is the way that we've described. If you're talking about drinking, or peiros, or something that's much lighter, so the poskim say the shir ikol is much, much less. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a lashon that for drinking, the shir ikol is 11 minutes. I think that's what he has. Very small shir. It's very important to keep in mind. Sometimes a person brings a coffee to the base medrash. So, like, when's the shir ikol? I had, if you drink I'm not talking about whether it's hot or cold. There's a whole discussion in the shir for Brach Achronin coffee if you drink it slowly. But let's say you have a water. Right? You're drinking water, and you drink a significant amount. You drink a revius, let's say. Let's say you drink 4 or 5 ounces in a shot. Right? You drink 2 ounces, and you stop a little bit, you drink 2 ounces. It's definitely a shear that you have to make a Brach Achronin. But you plan on drinking more water in the future. Yeah, but the problem is if you're going to drink more water in 20 minutes from now, and you're thirsty 20 minutes from now, then you might have a new chiyuv. You really should have made a Brach Achronin on the first drinking of the water. So that's something that you have to keep in mind. The question is, if you're really drinking it for thirst, or you're just drinking it to wet your mouth before you get thirsty, it's not so partial. The best thing to do is really to make a bracha achrona. If you drink a significant amount of water at one sitting, you really should make a bracha achrona right then and there. Then you'll drink a little bit of water later and make a bracha achrona on the next drink of water. This is definitely true for someone who's exercising or playing sports. Now, if you're playing sports, there's no question that the shir ikol is over. Now, if you play sports and, it's 10 minutes of basketball, right? And then everyone takes a break at the water fountain. Then they're going to play another 10 minutes or so. There's no question that the thirst that you have in the second 10 minutes is unrelated to the first 10 minutes. You got to make a brew and a fush the first time if you drink enough. The problem is the water fountain, you're not drinking so much. But if you drink enough water from the water fountain, and you drink it in a way that there's a chiyuv of a bracha achrona, I would make a bracha achrona right there and then. And when you drink again, you make another bracha rishon and another bracha achron again. Because the shir ikol for drinking, especially when one is doing something that's going to make him thirsty much more quickly, the shir ikol comes very quickly. So it really would be appropriate to make a bracha achron on the first drinking, because if not, then you're going to lose the opportunity. Who had his hand up first? David?
What if someone has a water bottle in the gym, for example, so he doesn't change rishos, and he plays for like 5 minutes, and then goes back like... Or are you saying that it's...
I don't think it matters whether all the water is there. The question is whether there was a shir ikol on the first water that you drank. Meaning if the reason why you have to drink the second time is because you're thirsty, so it turns out that the first water is over. Right? If I have a cookie jar in the cabinet, right? And I have a cookie in the morning, and then I go learn, and I have a cookie. I didn't leave the house. I have a cookie 3 hours later. So would we say that the shir ikol is still continues because I had a cookie jar? Just because it's all in the cookie jar, it's a function of my eating. So if my eating is over, if I digested the first cookie, so then the shir ikol is over. It's the same thing in the case of water. Even though I have a bottle of water, but the shir ikol for the first water could be over before I start drinking again. Yes?
What if it's like... If you have why can't we count it? It's like a long suit, though. Like if you have a suit in your house, it takes 5 hours. Are you going to make another bracha in the second, third hour?
No, but that's because the hamotzi covered everything, covers all the brachas we've shown us of everything I'm going to eat in that suit. So it is true, if I wait you shouldn't wait 72 minutes without eating in the suda, because then there's a shaila. According to Rashi, there is a shir ikul. That's why some people are makfir if they're having the suda Shabbos, and you know how suda Shabbos comes against, right? They're very Torah, and they're speaking, and there's singing, and maybe even dancing. Whatever, right? So, you know, with the drushes and everything and the schmoozing, so sometimes it can take a long time. So some for people on Makbid, they try to drink a little bit in the middle, they try to eat a little bit in the middle, just to be mitzarif everything, so it's one suda, and then the shir ikul is not going to be over. Yeah.
So when it comes to making the bracha avrona, I understand when, like, in between times that you're playing, let's say you go at the water fountain, that you have to make the bracha avrona, but even if you don't drink a shir at the water fountain, let's say every time you go back, you still make another bracha rishona.
Right. The bracha, you're still chayav to make the bracha rishona because
it's a new
shtia, right? The first bracha rishona is over once the shir ikul came. Correct. That's a very important point. The bracha rishona is over once the shir ikul has arrived. Yes.
Is it 11 minutes or 20 minutes?
11 minutes or 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I think the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that it's 11 minutes. But again, leave 11 minutes. It's very hard to be mishari that way. I think the best idea is make sure that you're not going to put yourself into that situation. When it comes to sports, if you want to take a drink at the water fountain, drink enough that you can make a bracha afrona right then and there. And when it comes to Seder, so you have to cheshbon it. I don't know, to put a number on it is very difficult. It doesn't say 11 minutes in the Gemara. So, like, I don't know exactly what shear that is. That is what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, but it doesn't say that anyway. So I think the point is that the shear equal is much less. So you have to be choshesh for that and make sure that that you're going to stay within the shear equal. Yes, final question?
I mean, I might be wrong, but I kind of remember hearing a while back that, like, when you're running and you're drinking water, like, because it's not really for thirst, it's more like...
Not for thirst? What,
like,
is it for?
I heard it's more for, like, I don't know, I heard it's, like, not because you're thirsty, you just, like, need it for, like, hydration. So it's, I don't know if it can, like, you need, like, a broth. I don't know if I heard that.
I think most people, when they're running, they're not thinking so deeply. I think when they... No, I mean, I think most people, when they're running, they're drinking because they're thirsty. It's not because they're saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get dehydrated, and then I'll get sick, and then I'll do this." I mean, that might be the ultimate reason that the person is drinking, but the reality is the body says, "I'm thirsty." So that's really the reason why they're drinking. So I think as long as you're thirsty again, so then the bracha that you made before is going to be over. You'll have to make another bracha.